You're listening to an Art Smitten podcast.
Sin Media acknowledges and pays respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Sin office stands. Sin and the Art Smitten team would like to further acknowledge the traditional custodians and their ancestors of the lands and waters across Australia where our content reaches. Art Smitten would like to expand that respect to Bunjil, the great creator ancestor of the Kulin Nations. Sovereignty has never been ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome back to Sin FM 90.7. You're listening to Art Smitten, our program for local arts and culture. I'm your host, Audrey, and today I'll be chatting about the history and timeline of the White Cube art gallery model. Ever wondered why art galleries have white walls and minimalist spaces? I'll be running through the history of this interior practice today. So I'm keen to talk to you guys about the White Cube art gallery model. If you ever wondered why art galleries have plain white walls, bright white light, and simple minimalist decor. This interior practice has been labelled the White Cube by art writer Brian O'Doherty in his fundamental 1976 text, Inside the White Cube, The Ideology of the Gallery Space. One of the first and generally considered the most significant texts to label this practice and to place it in a historical context. O'Doherty considers how the context of an art object can affect how we, as the viewer, perceive and react to the work. A main argument against the nature of the White Cube is that without cultural or social context, an artwork is removed from our reality and unable to take on its own life outside of a gallery space. This means the artworks are taken out of time, removed from socio-political and cultural ties, and placed in a severely art world context that becomes inaccessible for the general public. I often find when I'm visiting gallery spaces that the most intriguing curation of art is that which brings life and context to an object by telling a visual narrative or by providing a historical context. What do you think? Can you recall your favourite exhibitions, and do you think they prescribe to this White Cube model? What about your favourite galleries in and around Melbourne? Does this White Cube minimalist space affect your understanding or feelings about artworks? Have a little think about that, and here's a little break. You're listening to Art Smitten, Sin's flagship show all about arts and culture. So I've been discussing the White Cube, a term coined to describe the white, minimal gallery space we've come to recognise today. And I wanted to begin by giving some general background to the notion of an exhibition, and to discuss how they have developed into the galleries we visit today. Loosely speaking, the concept of exhibiting art first entered mainstream Western society in France around the 18th century with the Salon. Salons were constructed as places to go and view contemporary art of the time, bringing art, which was generally regarded as something for only the elite or royalty, to the public. And in this instance, I'm not talking about the general public as we imagine them today, rather the aristocracy or the upper class members of society. If you've ever been to the Louvre or the NGV Salon Red Room, you can imagine the kinds of works and installations in these salon spaces at the time. Artworks were submitted to the Academy jury, who decided whether an artist was skilled or high value enough to be included. Artworks were then hung by value, which, with the best installed at eye level or above, and the others below. This conception of the salon became disillusioned with the arrival of modern Impressionist paintings, and of course with the French Revolution. We may not think it now, but early painters such as Manet, Cézanne, and Pissarro were somewhat revolutionary in their time in breaking away from typical expectations of the painterly medium. The vibes of these salons exhibitions were maximalist gilded rooms with crowds of classical paintings in ornate gold frames, swaths of coloured fabric draped over and deep red paint on the walls. If you've ever been to an art gallery space like this, you may have found yourself overwhelmed by the sheer amount of work to look at. And I think it's interesting to think about the difference between these two spaces. We often associate maximalist or colourful art gallery spaces with a sense of traditional or classical artworks, specifically paintings. And simultaneously, we think of the modern-day white cube gallery space as a place for contemporary art, often sculpture, and often exhibited in interesting or unique ways. Something to leave you to think about. Next segment, I will chat with you about the salon further. To Art Smitten on SYN 90.7 FM. I've been chatting with you about gallery spaces today, minimalist and maximalist, white walls or colourful. I gave you a brief history of the earliest recognised Western model of art exhibitions, the salon, in 18th century France. These salon spaces and other gallery or exhibition spaces thereafter often emulated the aesthetic of private collections of art, bringing a certain level of domestic aesthetic to the gallery space. So how did we get from there to the clinical white cube art gallery we've come to expect today? At the turn of the 20th century, paintings began to be hung in a single row at eye level for a standardization of accessibility for the viewer. One of the first recordings of this is Gustav Klimt's solo exhibition at the 1910 Venice Biennale. As for the colour of the walls, there is much debate on the origination. All sources are black and white images at the time, so it becomes hard to tell whether some spaces are white or if they continue the monochromatic blues, greys, and pale yellows that became trendy. Arguably, some of the first purely white modernist style spaces were in the Vienna Succession Building, built in 1897, and certainly these white spaces were considered to originate from Vienna and Germany. Which brings us to the unfortunate but interesting understanding that it is highly likely that this pure white gallery space was heralded during Germany in the 1930s, with the rise of the Nazi Party through Bauhaus and Der Stil movements. While they may have brought this form of gallery space to the mainstream, after their defeat, this white cube interior became a standard around Europe and then in America, where the new art world had begun to transpire bigger than ever. Listening to Art Smitten on SYN FM 90.7. Happy Wednesday! It's a hot one here in Melbourne today. I'm your host Audrey, and I'm keen on giving you guys the art history knowledge you need to back up your gallery visits. Today I've been talking to you about the white cube art gallery model. The term white cube was coined by art writer and theorist Brian O'Doherty in the 70s and describes the white, bright, minimalist art gallery spaces that we've come to see today. I've chatted about the beginnings of art exhibitions and the subsequent development of this white cube during the start of World War II. Post-war, we can see that this clean aesthetic, considered avant-garde at the time, was taken up around Europe and over to America, where a new centre of the art world was forming. How did this period of standardising become international, and how did the white cube gallery space develop into what we see today? A man often credited with heralding this movement, Alfred Barr, was the first director of the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Highly interested in the avant-garde and more categorical as a mind than others in the field at the time, Bahr visited the Bauhaus School in 1927 and became enamored with the modern art styles and avant-garde teachings that were happening there. When recommended for the position of director at the time of MoMA's opening, Bahr seemingly followed mainstream gallery influences of the time, rather than using this newfound love for his avant-garde preferences. It was not until his exhibition, Cubism and Abstract Art, in 1936, did he begin to remove the domestic collector-style embellishments to the gallery space, and the white cube was born. Jumping into post-World War II America with a guy called Alfred Bahr, art historian, curator, and the first director of MoMA. Bahr, as the first director of the Museum of Modern Art in New York, is often considered the pioneer of the white cube gallery model that we see today. After his 1927 trip to the Bauhaus School, where he fell in love with the avant-garde and its style, he brought his interest back to America. His curation of MoMA's 1936 exhibition, Cubism and Abstract Art, saw a removal of the gallery context, hanging works in direct sightlines at viewer eye level. He removed windows and painted the space white, even hanging some Picasso paintings on their own walls, something that is so common today we sometimes don't even notice. This design allowed for a reduction of the institution and seemingly held artists' work at the forefront. He created a timeline or chart for the exhibition, which he featured in the catalogue and pasted on the walls as what we would call wall text today in gallery spaces. Freestanding sculptural works were placed on plinths and pedestals of various sizes, and Alfred played with conventional styles, straddling the intersections of traditional curatorial design with this new avant-garde approach. He began to flip the intention of objects, for instance mounting three Bauhaus design chairs on the wall, rather than the typical model of floor display, allowing for a change in context for the viewer. While he hung most works at eye level, he also grouped some in asymmetrical styles around the space. Bahr's exhibition chart made obvious the timeline of movements leading to Cubism, including influences and clear labels and descriptions for viewers and visitors. He even included a color-coded chart. This model of clear and concise exhibition design and subsequent cataloguing showed Bahr's interest in analytical and categorical approach to art, an early archivist, in fact, and proved it as an engaging model for gallery goers and curators alike. So a little bit about Alfred Bahr. He is considered by many to be the pioneer of this white cube paradigm, but I would argue that he was heavily influenced by German Bauhaus and De Stijl movements, and even further back, developed on a curatorial style that was started with the Vienna Succession. With our flagship show, Art Smitten, I'm your host Audrey, and today I've been running you guys through the history of the White Cube exhibition model, from its humble beginnings to how it has become the standard internationally today. So after understanding this timeline, what do we think of the white cube model? Is it still a useful form of contemporary art curation and design? Should we begin to think about new, exciting ways to design our gallery spaces? Brian O'Doherty, if you remember, I spoke before about his seminal text Inside the White Cube from 1976, which I would really recommend if you've got an interest in this topic, having a read of that one. He argues that to remove color, decoration, and to create a purely white cube is to remove context and essentially to remove time. In his investigation of what the highly controlled context of the modernist gallery does to the art object and to the viewing subject, he concurs that this kind of gallery devours the object, becoming it. To read a section of his text, and I quote, "A gallery is constructed along rules as rigorous as those for building a medieval church. The outside world must not come in, so windows are usually sealed off. Walls are painted white. The ceiling becomes the source of light. The wooden floor is polished so that you can click along clinically, or carpeted so that you can pad soundlessly, resting the feet while the eyes have at the wall. The art is free, as the saying used to go, to take on its own life." While a beautiful description of the white cube space, O'Doherty goes on to argue that this focus on aesthetics and removal of context is a failing of modernism, that it creates a space where the visitor feels like an intrusion to the clean, clinical gallery. And I would even argue that this point goes beyond simply clean and clinical and steps into this kind of barrier between the art world elite and the everyday general public. It creates a kind of class divide, I would argue. My favorite part of this text is when he describes the removal of context, is the removal of time. That by creating these secular, clinical, white spaces, the gallery becomes a timeless eternity of display, allowing art to feel endless, inevitable, and almost unrecognizable. What do you think? Do you prefer spaces where the art you see comes with a context, with references to climate and culture? Or do you prefer to see art within these aesthetic spaces without description and where you're able to place your own thoughts and feelings onto the work? I hope I've given you a bit to think about next time you visit a gallery space. Maybe you can consider how and why you're feeling a certain way about an artwork or an exhibition, and whether the curator has guided you to feel this way.
Thanks for listening to an Art Smitten podcast. You can listen to Art Smitten live every Saturday from 12 p.m. on SYN.